Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com. That's abilitychiro.com.
Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98 because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.
Hello and welcome to the podcast of the Lotus Eaters, episode 1236. I'm your host, Legolas, joined today by Frodo and Sam.
Gimli?
Okay, Gimli.
I'll take Frodo.
Merry and
he was the hero.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And
stoical. Heroic.
And today we're going to be talking about the release and continued persecution of Lucy Connolly, the flag result and why revolt, and why the English are putting up flags to begin with. So should be an interesting one, chaps. Anything we need to add before we go on, other than the fact there's Lads Hour after this, and if you're a member on the website, you should definitely tune into that, because it should be a lot of fun.
It's going to be a great one.
Yeah. Should I say?
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to be exploring the life and trying to navigate the trials of Nicholas 30 Anne's. What does he do in his life? What obstacles does he face? Can he save up enough money for a mortgage? Find out all of these answers and more on Lads Hour later today. And with that, I think we should just get into it, chaps.
Yeah, let's go.
All right, then. So, Lucy Connolly has been released from prison, but this is not a pure cause for celebration because her persecution is ongoing. The release from prison is not because she's been acquitted of all charges or been forgiven for what she said or anything like that. It is because she has served the mandated 40% of her sentenced time in prison and is now able to be released on parole. So she's living currently outside of prison, but she's on parole, she's got to be supervised, and she's still going to be the target of a lot of media attention, as we can see from the way that the BBC very neutrally phrased this headline on their article related to this: woman jailed for race hate post released from prison. A very nice neutral way of putting it. And to be fair, she was sentenced under inciting racial hatred, but of course this is part of our two-tiered system, as we will look at later on when you compare and contrast this, as many people already have, with the Ricky Jones case. But there is more to that that I don't think Stelios mentioned on one of the segments, or one or both of the segments that he's already done on it.
Can I just quickly say, if you compare that to the Telegraph's headline, Lucy Connolly released from prison, former childminder was jailed over single social media post shared in wake of Southport attack. So you get the Telegraph's. It's not like this is just objective, neutral truth. Like, that's one way of looking at it. And the BBC went with race, woman jailed for race hate post. I'm just saying, we all know this, but the spin of the BBC was so immense.
It's true. Yeah, genuinely atrocious.
This is somewhat less than neutral reporting.
And I love the way the
framing.
They're treating her as if she's some sort of paid-up BNP member who's been skinhead marching down the streets, you know, screaming whatever.
When, as we found out during her appeal back in May, she not only childminds to diverse children, she also, I think, wasn't it that she sponsored a Nigerian to enter into the country as well?
Yeah.
Which some people were upset at, but, you know, that doesn't mean, you know, what she went away to prison for was a very... She shouldn't have gone to prison in the first place. Well, her husband is a Tory.
Yeah.
So that just goes without saying.
What's the conflict in the household? Oh, you know, you're right, actually, you're right, yeah.
He was probably the one who suggested it.
Right.
But the point is, like, you know, it was one, like, impulsive post because of something tragic and terrible that had happened. Like,
there were plenty of mitigating circumstances related to her own history with losing a child due to...
Even if there weren't, it's like, okay, you know, some Welsh choir boy goes on a stabbing rampage and kills a bunch of kids. I think it could be forgiven if people like react on social media.
If people are upset about
it. I mean,
which clearly they were. But of course, the state saw that as an opportunity to start hoovering people up and putting them in prisons, letting people go early, or at least releasing them from their prison sentences slightly early to make room for all of these dissident thinkers out there.
I call that Operation Arkham Asylum. I mean, the prisoners were out there literally popping champagne.
And one of the interesting things is that the reaction to all of this from the mainstream was that this was all the actions of an independent and neutral judiciary. This was one line that was hammered home again and again and again. Every time anybody brought up the political nature of this case and her sentencing, we got told, no, 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 the parliament had nothing to do with this. The political institutions had nothing to do with this. This was all a part of the independent judiciary who were acting completely objectively. And we'll look at why that's a lie now. Because if you actually go to the documents from the court, from the judiciary website talking about this particular case, here you see the sentencing remarks from the judge saying, you know, she pled guilty to the offence of distributing material with the intention of stirring up racial hatred, which is different and a more severe crime to encouraging violence, I've discovered.
Really?
Yes. I looked this up through an article that I'm going to feature later on in this segment, but the case of stirring up, inciting racial hatred is a more severe charge in this country than encouraging direct physical violence. The state and the institutions put more moral weight on maintaining racial relations than they do discouraging violence.
I had no idea, but don't read my article on the latest island of Christ.
Very, very interesting. But, you know, it says, it's summing up, it's a number of cases, bloody, bloody, blah. As everyone is aware, they've used tragedy as an opportunity to sow division and hatred, blah, blah. Part four, it's a strength of our society that it is both diverse and inclusive.
Right, so we're going to pretend that this is ideologically neutral, even though it sounds like a Twitter thread from the secret barrister.
Yeah. Yes.
Incredible. You get all those types on Twitter, like, oh, the law is just infallible and totally objective. It was handed down by God onto a stone tablet. It's like, no, it's just shit libs.
That's exactly it.
You're supposed to pretend that, like, the sorts of people that go into the judiciary are somehow magically immune to all of the propaganda that they'll encounter going through university and all of the institutions that they need to go through so they can get credentials to get into the judiciary in the first place. Like, they all go to university. They're subject to the same shit lib atmosphere of the woke universities that everybody else is, but we're supposed to pretend that as soon as they step through the doors of the court, that magically that vanishes from their minds.
It's just so barbarous that a Welsh choir boy goes and murders a bunch of children, and the first thing on this judge's mind is, oh, it's a strength of our society that's both diverse and inclusive.
Yeah, I mean,
it's horrific.
Like, innocent members of the public and sentences for those who incite racial hatred and disharmony in our society, because there's so much harmony in a society that will produce an Axel Ruder Cabana, isn't there? A society where the institutions meant to protect people, like Prevent, who had been called out numerous times for Ruder Cabana. Like, there are institutions in this country explicitly to prevent people from foreign backgrounds from just murdering people for no reason because they've been turned into ideologues for extreme views. But no, we've just got to pretend that, no, if it weren't for all of these evil Twitter racists, everything would work fine.
And the thing is, as well, like, they'd done everything they could to try and incorporate Ruder Cabana as well. Like, he'd featured in, like, there was a sports thing, there was a Doctor Who thing. Yep. Like, you know, like, he'd been brought in and
they'd
given...
They tried to assimilate him.
Exactly. And yet he still went and stabbed a bunch of kids.
Yeah. And can I add one further thing on the point number one? It's my understanding that Lucy Connolly didn't actually understand what she was signing, that she intended to stir up racial hatred. She doesn't say that she intended to do that. No. They're claiming there she pled guilty.
A lot of people claim that she has never contradicted that she pled guilty to inciting racial hatred and that that's what she understood that she was doing. There are lots of contradictory reports on that, but the actual evidence seems to suggest that she was basically pressured.
She said she felt influenced in Galison Pearson piece. And these people claim to know her innermost mind. But if she says she felt pressured, she was in remand and she was worried she'd be stuck behind her, I take her word.
She's denied bail.
Yeah.
She was obviously given terrible advice as well, because the other guy from Wales who pled not guilty got off scot-free. because he had to have a jury, and the jury was like, no, of course not.
It took that jury 17 minutes to determine that he wasn't guilty.
Ricky Jones, yeah.
No, you mean the Marine. It took the jury for his case 17 minutes to determine that he wasn't guilty, whereas Lucy was in a situation where she'd been denied bail, whereas the Marine had been granted bail, and she didn't know how long it would take to go to a jury trial. It could have taken months. She was already imprisoned on remand, and as such, she felt pressured into signing the guilty charge so that she could just get a result for it.
Yeah. Jamie Michael.
Yes. Yep. And this is what she was sent for. She said, mass deportations now. This is me reporting it. Set fire to all the effing hotels full of all the bastards for all I care. While you're at it, the treacherous government and politicians with them. If that makes me racist, so be it. Obviously, not a good thing to post. Not a wise or advisable thing to post. It's a Fed post. But she deleted it immediately. By the time she was even arrested, she had deleted her Twitter account altogether. This was not something that she was actually thinking would be actioned upon.
It doesn't represent a pattern of behavior either.
No, and they try and use absolutely ridiculous things to back up this idea that she was kind of acting in bad faith. For instance, they go through WhatsApp messages to try and justify their case, when it's obviously they're just scrambling for anything, and they just got lucky that, well, she was in a position where she decided to plead guilty anyway because she didn't understand and she was feeling a lot of pressure. And again, clearly, if you actually examine this woman's background, she's not a racist. She's not a hateful person. She's just somebody who got genuinely upset about something awful that happened.
But the thing is, if she was a racist, how would the sentence have been any different?
No, of course, it shouldn't.
It would have been exactly the same. She got the maximum sentence possible. But moreover, this is what our society has been degenerated into now. Hunting for the racist. Who's a racist? Who? Ooh, the racist. Quick, there's a racist over there. Get him. It's just like...
No, I agree. I think it's a useless, defamatory term.
It's a witch hunt.
Used to smear people. And furthermore, I think there are differences between people, and there doesn't need to be any moral weight put on that. But you can you can recognize that without being a hateful person mindless bigot.
No, I love African and Asians. It's like, oh, look, it's just like, why does she have to have an opinion on them?
Yeah,
that doesn't prove she's a good person.
The grooming gang has sort of proved there are worse things even than being racist. I mean, people are so worried about even seeming racist that it's like, let's cover up the
same with Manchester
assault,
even a bombing.
Torture of children, yeah.
Guy doesn't want to report this. Yeah. There's a really suspicious Muslim guy here. Well, I'm not a racist.
I know.
Oh, well.
It remains the original sin of our society. And can I just say, even someone like Paul Embry, who's usually reasonable, said that she wrote something vile and inhuman. I don't think it was inhuman at all.
No. I think it's very human.
Very human. You're expressing frustration at an appalling, intolerable situation, which is the murder of the children and her own background with losing a child and so on. She's expressing, and just a general our society and the complete mess of it, and you're just a mother expressing frustration. Not doing it in the ideal way is also human, by the way.
Yeah.
It's not inhuman. It's very human.
We all slip up, and unlike other people, she wasn't saying it in person in front of a riled up crowd that could have acted on it.
She didn't draw her thumb across her neck. Calm down.
No. But of course, unlike Lucy, we'll find out there were mitigating circumstances.
Oh, well, then,
Mitigating circumstances for that. Obviously, back in May, there was this motion that Rupert Lowe put forward saying that towards Parliament, the continued imprisonment of Lucy Connolly is just a complete injustice, a waste of police and prison resources and space. Terrible things. Got 10 signatures, but actually it originally got 12. and a couple of people withdrew. Can you guess who withdrew?
I know, so it won't be a fair game.
Yeah, Jeremy Corbyn and John McDonnell. Jeremy Corbyn, for half a minute, decided to take a principled stance on something.
Yeah. And you're doing a joke. It literally was 20 minutes. Rupert Lowe put up the tweet, and apparently 20 minutes later, he took it down. See, my guess is Corbyn saw that and thought, oh, that's a kind of humanitarian thing. Yeah, that's the kind of thing I'm into. Then he realised, oh, it's associated with the right.
Oh, it's the far right.
Rupert Lowe posted saying, oh, it's great, we've got a consensus on this across cross-party, blah, blah. He's like, take it down.
Jeremy Corbyn's like, no way.
Yeah.
Same with John McDonnell, though. like, again, that old Irish communist.
Yeah, you're both independents.
Yeah.
You can stand by yourself. You don't have a party allegiance to have to, like, fall back on or anything. You could have just said, yeah, this is bad.
You literally got kicked out of the Labour Party for being communist.
If Corbyn had kept that signature, would you vote for him?
No.
It would have been a point in his favour, though.
Sure, but even then, like...
I'm voting for him anyway, so it's irrelevant.
Jeremy Corbyn can do any number of terrible things, but Nick's just there, two thumbs up. Fly the flag,
Keep the
Jeremy.
Red flag flying, Jez. Yeah.
A red star will dawn upon us.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Based anti-establishment.
But, but of course, Starmer defended this sentencing back when this motion was put forward and Rupert forwarded the question. Starmer just said, oh yeah, it's the independent judiciary. I always support our independent judiciary.
We love our independent judiciary, don't we, folks?
Yeah, and again...
Totally independent.
So with this, the thing was, the reason that she's been released now, despite serving... You're supposed to serve 40%, as mentioned, of the sentence. She was sentenced to 31 months. It's not been 31 months... Sorry, it's not been the 12.4, however much, months since last October. That's because she was held in remand, in prison, after her arrest on the 6th of August, and she was held in custody until her sentence on the 17th of October.
As if she was going to, what, be a danger to the public or skip the country?
Well, they certainly treated it like she
Jesus.
Would.
Jesus!
Like, because she was... Look at this.
The racist mum. Get her in the...
Tuesday, the 6th of August, 2024. She's arrested. Saturday, the 10th of August, she's got a video link. Monday, 12th of August, Childminder appears in Northampton Crown Court. Yeah. And then Monday, the 2nd of September, is when she pleads guilty.
That is mad.
So almost a month.
That is mad. I
mean, almost a month denied bail. And then it takes over a month after that to October for her to be jailed.
I mean, this is truly Soviet, though, right? Like, anti-racist Soviet regime that we're living under.
Where even as part of the sentencing, they give the party line.
Exactly.
Diversity and inclusion is our strength, comrade. It's the thing that keeps our society going.
Yeah. Yes. That's all it was missing, you're right, was comrade. I mean, and by the way, she was in for 380 days.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a lot.
That's ridiculous. Even a tweet that she deleted 3.5 hours later.
Incredible.
Like, is there any actionable proof that anybody acted on this tweet?
There's no evidence of harm, but that's the point. This is a political crime against the ruling ideology of the party, as they're literally telling us. The strength of our society is diversity and inclusion. It doesn't matter how many children they stab, and if you speak out about it in the wrong way, you're going to spend 380 days in jail.
Yes, which is anarcho-tyranny once again. They love illegal migrants committing crimes, are their favourite people. They're passionately in love with them. The people they hate are decent British mothers who have been pushed too far.
Yes.
They're their absolute enemy.
Correct.
Yeah, and to make matters worse, you were talking about this article before we came on.
Oh yeah,
there was this article from 2 months ago, Alison Pearson's article on the mistreatment of Lucy Connolly.
Sorry, can I read the? She had been manhandled, bruised, and starved.
Yes. So according to Richard Tice and others who had gone to visit her in prison, she'd been put away in basically a high security block.
She's being treated like Tommy Robinson.
Yes. Of the prison that she was in multiple weeks, it was basically, they called the wing of the prison the Bronx because it was where drug addicts and schizos go.
Violent offenders who can't behave normally anywhere, even in a prison.
Literally the closest we have to a gulag.
And she said that they manhandled her, pulled her arms behind her back so that they could cuff her for it. She got covered in bruises. And then for at least one day that she was withheld from having food.
Jesus.
Yeah,
Christ.
Yeah. They, she's coming out of the gym. They grab her, handcuff her so tight she gets all these bruises. They say, "Oh, according to her, they say Lucy, you're not special." Words to this effect, you know, don't think you're special. And then they send her to this terrible place. Doesn't eat. She reckons there's excrement on the walls. The police claim it, or the guards claim it's coffee. It's like, and then everyone in there is shouting to her, "Hey, Lucy, we know who we are. We'll look after you. But why are you in here with us?" They're saying, "Like, why are you here?" It's
the only consolation she gets is from the other prisoners.
Yes, yeah. the violent prisoners.
Oh yeah,
in the violent block of this prison.
They're like, "You're not one of us. What are you doing here?"
Yeah, one of them like, even
this
gets.
This isn't very fair. Yeah, Mr. Prison officer.
Yeah, you're a political prisoner.
Lucy, we know who you are. Don't worry, you'll be fine here. Don't let the bats. Can we say that word? Get you down. And then one of them makes sure she gets a radio and yells at the officer to give it to her. So they sort of instinctively on her side. And they're sort of saying, "Where you shouldn't be in here. We should be in here because we can't be helped." Look, why the bleep have they put you here on this wing, Lucy? Her neighbour in the next cell demanded. We're the ones they can't do nothing with. So they have to be in there, but they're going, you shouldn't be in there. They're supporting her.
Based violent criminals.
Yeah.
I just can't get over.
Well, compared to the political treatment that she was getting from the prison officers, yeah, because it just seemed like they were just petty.
Oh, it's
petty
political
tyrants. It's petty political tyrants.
It's 100%. But this is how the Soviets treated their dissidents, because their dissidents are a threat to the regime. It's genuinely a threat to the ideological regime they're living under. Like, Lucy Connolly is obviously not a physical threat to anyone. It's kind of adorable that the criminals are like, what are you doing here? Don't worry, we'll look after you.
Yeah, whereas, of
I look
course,
forward to the sort of movie of that.
Yeah,
when we win.
Yeah.
When we win, that'll be one of the first pieces of propaganda we make. This is all, of course, contrasted against Ricky Jones, who was in the middle of a crowd and called for the throats of people to be slit, neo-Nazis.
To the cheers of the crowd.
Yeah, to the cheers of the crowd, who were very in favour of everything he was saying. Well, he did get a jury trial, and they deliberated for just over half an hour before before finding him not guilty.
Right.
And because people were very angry about this and said, hold up, this is a perfect example of the two-tier system that we've been complaining about, the secret barrister was deployed to run cover for it, where he says, oh, of course, I'm not in favour of this, I don't necessarily know, but we don't have access to the full court transcripts or records of what was going on here, so we can't say. I mean, he was only charged with encouraging violent disorder, which is not as serious an offence as inciting racial hatred. Here's some of the stuff. Also, they used as mitigating circumstances as part of the case that he was neurodivergent.
Oh, yeah.
His mental health.
ADHD.
His mental health was playing up, and it can cause him to just blurt out stuff that he doesn't mean.
Lucy Connolly should have fallen back on that.
Yeah, because, of course, Lucy Connolly didn't have any kind of mitigating circumstances about why she, in particular, would be particularly sensitive to, you know, children dying or anything like that. But she wasn't afforded that same kind of charity. She wasn't afforded the same kind of light touch that Ricky Jones seems to have received.
Even the idea that she might have used mental health was used against her, wasn't it? In the sentencing remarks, that she would try and use mental health. She allegedly said that to someone, whereas Ricky Jones apparently just gets to use that. He's a far more political figure. He talks in that speech.
He was a Labour councillor.
Yeah, and he talks about fighting the National Front for years and years. He thinks we're still in those days. And he's a much more political figure. Labour councillor, as you say. Lucy's just a mum that's got caught up in it. Okay, her husband's a councillor, but she's a far less political figure who's been politicised by a corrupt regime.
Yeah, and he goes on to contrast this with the Lucy Connolly situation, because, of course, this is why he's been deployed, to try and defuse that whole thing. And he says that, well, you know, of course, I don't agree with the result, but it is completely different. And the two-tier myth is a conspiracy theory. And also, you know, there was nothing political about this. She was never denied having the necessary mens rea. It's never been suggested that she was forced to plead guilty and has never applied to appeal against her conviction on the basis of bloody, bloody, blah.
She said she was pressured.
Well, except for the fact that if you examine some of the other articles that have come out regarding this, that she was denied bail, she was held on remand, she did feel pressured into this. Lucy Connolly, according to this article, likewise stood a strong chance of being acquitted, because it's contrasting it with those other cases that we were referring to, and was advised to plead not guilty by the Free Speech Union, but denied bail and facing months in prison waiting for a trial. The mother and childminder pleaded guilty, believing it would be the quickest way to get back to her 12-year-old daughter. And on the idea that this judiciary is just completely independent, neutral, objective, and non-political, they bring up Lord Hermer, who's the current Attorney General. who was boasting after all of this that individuals were jailed can't hide behind their keyboards.
Lord Hermer is a communist subversive traitor.
I quickly went through his Wikipedia page, and there's some
abominable, isn't it?
Yeah, there's some interesting stuff in there about all of the cases that he'd brought forward where Well, there was one case where some refugee invader had come in across the channel and just said, I'm 16, let me in. Mm-hmm. And Lord Hermer was trying to challenge the CPS standards of how you judge somebody's age when the guy was clearly in his 20s. And the Italian authorities said, well, he told us he was 26. But Lord Hermer's just there like, well, how can we know? Is it really fair to judge how old a man is by how old he looks? Question. All for the sake of making sure that some foreign invader could get free access to our country and by extension, free access to us, our people, our children, who we all know that they have no bad intentions for whatsoever. So the idea that this was completely apolitical, neutral, objective, independent judiciary is absolutely ridiculous from the evidence that I've seen. And while I'm very, very glad that Lucy Connolly is out of prison now, she is still on parole. She's still under supervision. She's still being persecuted for something that she should never have been charged with in the first place.
Yeah, and the more she gets attacked on Twitter by these lefties, you know, with their, oh, she pleaded guilty or blah, 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 or look at the tweet, this terrible tweet that they keep reposting, this tweet that just inspires violence immediately. They all keep posting it. But the more they do that, the more I like Lucy Connolly, the more she becomes, they're like, she's not a martyr, she's not a hero. It's like, if you keep posting your awful tweets, the more she becomes that, actually.
I keep seeing them just calling her a racist. Just, she's a racist, she's a racist. Okay, but what? So what? Let's assume she is. That doesn't change anything.
Well, they say, remember, she pled guilty, as if that's like this yeah. total own. Yeah. Yes, we know the circumstances.
And we know the system.
I know, and people like Mogg fell for it, Rees-Mogg, like this sort of, he yeah. says, well, look, Ricky Jones had a jury trial, Lucy didn't, and that's the key difference. Like, yes, but why didn't she, as you've yeah. discussed? But they missed these key points. And Lucy herself probably thought she was still in England. When she pled guilty, she probably thought she was still in a country called England, which has laws.
Mm. That was that was her greatest mistake, really, wasn't it? Anyway, so we've got some Rumble rants. I'll read through quickly. Habsification, one thing we need to do when we win, make all the court transcripts publicly available, make all courts live stream and record live court cases and trials. I think the...
It's weird that they're not.
The transcripts would be enough.
Yeah, I think so.
I think for that, maybe particularly public cases of particular public interest, live stream them the same way that we got it with the Kyle Rittenhouse trial in America.
The Americans are a lot more transparent with their legal system. Everything's just live streamed.
But yeah, the transcripts, although I suppose, yeah, you can even find live streams of small county courts.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't see what would be the negative, what would be bad about that. Yeah. I think that would be a good thing.
They got nothing to hide.
Scott Saiguy for $10 saying, just contributing so Harry can buy washing up liquid for his cup and another block of lard for his hair. Thank you very much. This is the result of a small ponytail. On the back of my hair, actually. Thank you very much. Matt Hammond, does King Charles see Keir Starmer as a threat to the legitimacy of the crown in the minds of the people if he allows this to continue and does not consider a proclamation or dissolving parliament? King Charles is
Absolutely not. Useless
coward. He is a globalist who is completely in favour of all of this. So King Charles sees Keir Starmer and himself as on the same page, I would imagine.
Charles is probably thrilled as Keir Starmer.
Yeah, he's like, punish those filthy proles.
Yeah, probably. Like,
thank you, sir.
Charles is genuinely the worst. Just insufferable.
All right, do you want to do my bit?
Yeah.
Which is the flag revolt continues. Well, it's a sort of me and Carl bit. So we're going to do the update on the flag stuff, all this flag raising that's going on around the country, the St. George's Cross and the Union Jack. And I'm just going to give you the facts on the ground, and then Carl's going to talk, do a discussion a bit later. So let's kick off with this. A roundabout outside the South Essex Islamic Community Centre has been painted with the St. George's Cross. Interesting.
Is that is that hate speech? Did a hate speech just happen?
Probably.
Was a racial hatred just incited?
Obviously, I condemn this, and I'm just sharing it for factual information.
Yeah. I definitely don't think people should do this all the time.
No. Condemned. Is that it? Okay, a little short one there. Yeah. And then Isle of Dogs is another one where flags are going up. And I find this one quite interesting. At 21 seconds, there's a funny moment in this one, so let's play. I don't know if we're playing sound. Here we go. They're putting up a load of flags.
Yeah.
Wearing the... There you go. Police having none of it. They just went straight past. They're like, nah, you're all right. Just crack on, lads.
Seems like a lot of hassle. I'm not being paid for this.
I mean, you probably get the idea. There's probably at least watch all that. But yeah, more flags
going. To be honest with you, I am surprised the police were just like, yeah, not our problem, bro. Surprised the police.
Yeah, I was surprised. Yes, boys. So what's the, this is the roundabout that's being painted as well.
How long until Keir Starmer outlaws red paint?
I have a feeling copyright. They might be copyright, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a bit, because that's a banger.
Isn't this just emblematic of everything about this country at the moment, right? If we can get, so can we just go back? Look at the absolute state of this roundabout. It's the shoddiest thing in the world, isn't it? When was the last time this was maintained in any way, shape, or form?
He's sprucing it up, is what you're saying.
It basically, yeah, a fresh coat of paint. You know, it's like...
It does look nice. That nice
but the thing is, again, like everything is contained within it. Like England falling apart. And then the people who are outside of the grace of the regime are like, I'm going to get some paint and paint it myself. Mm. You know, so the only nice-looking bit on this bloody roundabout is the red paint.
Right.
Someone in revolt against the regime has painted on there for them.
Yes, it's a double revolt.
Red paint right now.
You should, man, if you're a real entrepreneur. Yeah. It's a revolt. Like you say, it's about it's sort of this collapsing identity and that's under attack, and it's the collapsing infrastructure, sort of all in one.
Collapsing country.
Yeah, yeah. Unfortunate. And here we go. We've got the map of where they're posting. Where's the thing where it says flag for? Anyway, there was something there. This shows where they put flags all around the country, even in the sea, guys. Look at
this.
I think
that might just be misaligned.
That's dedication.
Oh, okay.
Gone out on a boat, small boat. Yeah. Here, a couple more in the sea, and you see them around the south and a bit in north there near Hull. Where Northwest needs more representation.
I think those ones are in Newcastle upon Tyne.
Okay, fair enough.
I think if you click on them, actually.
That says on a boy.
Oh, Northumberland. There we go.
Okay.
It does actually tell you where they are. It's just for some reason these ones are misaligned.
Okay. So we can click on them, see where they are. Anyway, it's pretty widespread. That one's up in, where's that one? Hull, that one's Hull. And then you've got all the way down south in all these southern places. Where's that one?
Bow Arrow.
Dartford. Mm. So yeah, way out here.
Yep.
Yeah, so yeah, anyway, you've got flags all around the country. It's kind of a, I don't know if you call it a spontaneous movement. It kind of does seem like a grassroots movement to me.
I think so. It feels that way, anyway.
Yeah, some people were. Was it Roy saying it was lame? But I disagree.
Yeah, I don't agree. That's cool.
Here we go. This is a foreign man who's a bit shocked to find England flags in England.
Why is there England flags everywhere? Yo, there's just England flags everywhere. I get patriotism, but now I'm just scared. Get out of my fucking country, right?
Just scared of England
flags. But that's the thing, get out of my country.
Wasn't he doing that as a parody of what they say, as a sort of joke? I think he probably was.
Hopefully.
But when he says, I'm just scared. Imagine that. Like, it's like you could go other places. You know what I mean? There's like loads of countries.
But that's,
have England flags.
Doesn't that just say so much, though? It's like, if the English aren't allowed to fly their flag, everything's fine. But if the English are allowed to fly their flag, suddenly I'm worried. It shows you the dividing line. There is the UK, and then there is England. And one thing is consuming the other thing.
Yeah.
And he's part of the UK.
And the UK flag is probably the Palestine flag. Before that, it was the LGBTQ plus ever-evolving flag. Yeah. See, our flag is ancient and remains the same, or at least hundreds of years old. Their flag changes constantly to keep it up with the latest ideology. Let's have a look at this. For Morgoth, if you're offended by the flag of the country you live in, maybe it isn't your country or your flag.
Which is exactly what he's saying. Exactly what he's saying.
There you go. If the rule that brought you here... Yeah. Etc. Of what use was the rule?
Such a good meme as well. That
it's so great. I use it all the time.
Yeah, I know. You can use it for almost.
I used it on some atheist liberal. They went mental. He was talking about how he's like, look, this has gone too far. I'm with my girlfriend.
Yeah.
And there's all these migrants like staring at her. And he said, look, I was all against the racism of the previous generation. I was all sort of for immigration, but I don't like this.
But now look at this.
I just said if liberalism you followed brought you here, of what use was the liberalism? And he went mental, saying, I should like read books on the Enlightenment and stuff, as if I'd never heard about any of these people, like as if I was just
Red Lobster.
Yeah, that's what he basically
is. You should literally just plead completely as if I'd never heard of it. Sounds like a bad idea, though. Look what it's done to you.
I had to explain to him my position. He didn't even understand. I was just like, I'm just saying that this is. It's not like your argument's a question of degrees. I'm arguing perhaps it's a question of principle. And he's like, no. He was so angry. He was just like, but come on, guys.
Look at where you are. You're the one complaining about all the migrants staring at your girlfriend, mate.
The idea that there was a correct level of disdain for the prior generations. Like, why not have another look at your fundamental assumptions? And maybe that wasn't the right thing after all. But that's too scary for
him. Like, if he was going to get angry about, like, the Enlightenment and stuff, just, like, name which of the Enlightenment philosophers were, like, two thumbs up for mass immigration into Europe.
Yeah, because he'd say they weren't. That's the thing. He would say they're not. And he would say, I was for a sensible kind of liberalism, but not this. And the question is, I'm just saying... Aren't they the same though, bro?
Sounds quite fruity.
Why didn't one stop the other then?
Yeah.
One laid the groundwork for the other. But anyway.
I just find this so wrong. The idea, like, I didn't like the race and murder appreciated, but now it's like, but maybe you were wrong about that. Maybe you got to re-look again at what those people believed and why they believed it. Maybe they weren't just these racists. So it just makes me angry. Anyway, Charlie Peters says, York City Council has confirmed to GB News that it's pulled down England and Union flags put up by locals on lampposts in a section of the city due to upcoming high-profile events.
Can't have them seeing an England flag, those. Can we?
They claim it was just for that one event and blah, blah, blah. So there's more on that there they've come back with. But it's another example of these councils taking down flags, which is keeps happening. So here's one in Tower Hamlets where a council employee in Docklands takes down an England flag and the tweets says while wearing a Jamaican headscarf. So you can have a look at this if you want. You get the idea. Plonk. It's such a shocking thing to see people taking down.
Yeah, there's another video where the guy with the Jamaican headscarf is just like, why are you putting it up? I don't understand. And it's like, you're literally wearing a Jamaican beanie, like with the Jamaican flag on it. It's
like, I want to represent your country.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I mean, that's just how alien it is to these people, like England flags. I don't even know why you put that up, you know? But anyway, love Jamaica. Go smoke some ganj, bro.
Yeah, and Birmingham was, of course, one of the first councils to take them down, and this just talks about it. And many people have said, maybe focus on the bins, bro. But they claimed it was a safety issue, which is a kind of classic. You can't put on a lamppost. It's a safety issue and all this kind of thing, as it says there.
Isn't Birmingham Council bankrupt?
Yeah, that's why I said the bins.
Yeah, where'd they find the money to take all of these down?
Well, that's the thing. Within 24 hours, they can get rid of the England flags. But you're rubbish. Yeah. I love that they're hiding behind procedure. It's health and safety. It's like, you know what? I don't care about health and safety. You know, piss off.
Yeah, the flag on a lamppost. I'm like, yeah. I'll live with that risk.
Yeah. Acceptable risk.
And of course, they're bankrupt because of leftist absurd policies.
They'll gain sentience and attack migrants walking past.
No.
And they'll like walk into the road.
Yeah, I don't know. And also they're bankrupt because it's ludicrous rule that all jobs must be the same. That's what bankrupted them.
But so also, they've been essentially looting the treasury. Because the Birmingham Council, aren't there like something like more than a dozen people on more than 100 grand a year? And the council leaders on like 400 grand a year. Like, it's unbelievable. And let me
check it out. There was that report last year where a lot of councils had members who were basically funneling money through pension schemes. So that once they'd retired from the council, that they would just be multi-millionaires.
And on Carl's previous point, look how quickly they can remove an England flag on a roundabout. So this is Birmingham City Council. Boom, there they are. They're out
24
there.
Hours later.
Impressive. That's what the Empire was built on, lads. that's decisiveness and daring do. So let's...
It reminds me of when all of those migrants were bussed into... Martha's Vineyard.
Oh yeah,
and they just like
by DeSantis.
And within hours they'd all been deported out of there.
Mm.
Yeah, and I just found this one as well. Two elderly people in Birmingham. It's only according to this tweet, spotted attempting to take down the Union and St George's flags lining our streets. Traitors. So there they are, the boomers. Yep. Just like, let's get these down. You got to wonder about the instincts of these people if that's what they're doing.
Thanks, boomers. What are you doing?
I know. That should be. I mean, we should get to a point where this is so shamed that people shouldn't dare do it. And then eventually I'd like to get to a point where people don't actually want to do it because they like the country.
These boomers here, right, probably don't have the energy to look after their grandkids on the weekend, but...
No, they got the... I know, too busy taking...
Just got back from a cruise, I imagine.
Yeah.
Poor boomers. Reform Council slams England flag roundabout vandals and warns against putting flags up. So I just thought it was interesting. This was Reform on the right side of history as ever. So, this guy, Carl... I've forgotten his name, it's Carl something. It's Carl Perks sees this and is like, oh, it's vandalism. This is absolutely terrible. It's like, really, Reform? Did you have to go with like the total condemnation of? I know we can't break the law, but it's like, did you really want to go that strong? And then, as usual with Reform, they have a completely different idea because Zia Yusuf immediately condemns that guy.
In an instant, and yet any other time you need the council to do anything from an infrastructure perspective, they have no money or talent.
Yeah, but you speak about all that. I think this is great, by the way, I've got to say. But Councillor Carl Perks, he's a Reform UK councillor in Bromsgrove. He's putting out now saying that this is wrong, this painting of these roundabouts is wrong. He regards it as an act of vandalism.
Yeah.
And get this, he says, and I directly quote, "I will be seeking criminal damages." so that every other taxpayer in the country does not pay for this. What, that's a bit off-brand for reform, isn't it?
Well, I couldn't disagree more with that statement.
What's he doing?
You'd have to ask him, but we can disagree more with that statement. That's all I'll say.
Yeah, he's a Reform UK councillor, Kyle Pett. You're very welcome on this programme, because a lot of people have flagged this to me tonight. It's a little bit surprising to some of you guys, but do you know what? If you're in Birmingham, I've got a great idea for you. Get your wee bin, paint it as a St. George flag.
Move it, keep going right. Oh, yeah, there you go.
There you go. It's not as easy as it looks.
So, couple of things. Base Dube's always on the right side of the issue, which is great. But, Incredible Hazir Youssef's just like, well, you know, my party's on the wrong side of the issue again.
Do they not have, a chief whip or even just a basic party line that they send to people? By the way, on this subject, we do this.
And if they don't, how is it they managed to kick out, half their bloody MPs? What was the reason for that? But I quickly looked up the Birmingham City Council thing, by the way. Right, the former chief executive of Birmingham City Council received £469,000 on the year that she quit, which is when the last year where it was bankrupt for the year 2023 to 2024. Right, she was given £130,000 compensation for loss of office, on top of a salary of £269,000 and pension contributions of £68,000.
What is going on? Pension contributions. I've remembered it was the Taxpayer Alliance report from last year going on about this, where, they were just channeling loads of funds into pensions and bonuses, money as loss of compensation for loss of office, all that stuff. That over £400,000, that's one of the higher ones that I've heard of. That's insane.
It gets worse, though, right? So in 2022, Birmingham City Council had 19 staff that were getting more than £100,000. Right, in 3 years, that tripled to 57 people earning more than £100,000. It's like this they are just looting this city.
So they're just promoting each other. Oh, you can get £100,000. Yeah. You can get £100,000. You can get.
They're just stealing, as far as I can tell. Just robbing the treasury.
Cartel behavior.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. It's so obviously corrupt. But then Birmingham, what you can do.
All right, Restore Britain. Freedom of information requests have gone to the relevant publicised councils on their disgraceful flag removal efforts, cost, level of complaints, and so on. We will share our findings as soon as they arrive. Any councils we should be asking, let us know below. So it's the fight back of the...
That'll be interesting, because I bet they'll have spent thousands of pounds removing these flags.
Yeah.
Thousands.
And Lee Harris has a normal here. After Birmingham Council removed England flags and Union flags from lampposts, the lads with the cherry picker are out again, and they're putting them back up even higher. You absolutely love to see it, he says.
These ain't being taken down. We're putting them fucking higher.
Oh, if I didn't know that had a...
Yeah, get it as
low
as you can, lads. Fucking me.
To YouTube.
You're having trouble with these Twitter videos today, aren't you?
Well, the man on the
moon. To be honest, Carl put some of them in, so they're not...
My fault.
So I can't control them. Only he has power to control the ones he puts in. Normally it's all me. But,
Oh, there we go.
That one.
Very forgiving.
This one, I think, is the ultimate satire to me. And you'll have seen it before, but the England flag in a pothole, all we have to do is paint the St. George's Cross inside potholes and the council will fix them within 24 hours. I just think that's perfect. It's just the perfect image.
I hate it. A, it's AI generated. B, is undignified. Sorry, why are you painting our flag and blow potholes, mate?
But this as a satire, though, is perfect.
Yeah, but three, they're not going to fill the pothole. What they'll do is they'll jet wash the flag out of it and leave the pothole intact. So it's
I don't
not
think this
work.
Was totally serious, though.
Obviously, it's not serious, but everyone's like, "Oh, that's so clever." It's like, no, it's not clever. It's demeaning.
Yeah, you didn't like it, and you had a particular problem with this one for some reason, covering the potholes with the England flag. Why didn't you like that one? Just the same reason.
It's demeaning. Fly the flag from a bloody pole, not put it on the bloody holes in the ground. Mm.
So, you got the satire though. Then they'll fix it.
Yeah, no, obviously, but they're not going to, and they're not going to. What they're going to do is continue extorting.
I think you're taking it
money.
Too literally, but I
Nick, we don't need to IQ test Carl right now.
It's not.
I think he gets it.
I'm sure he gets it. But
I know I get it, but
opinion.
The problem is the entire attitude, right? The attitude is, oh, okay, we'll trick the evil regime that's currently extorting us and tearing down our flags into accidentally doing something useful for once. It's like, no, what we need to do is essentially browbeat them and conquer them and force them to fill the goddamn potholes, because that's their fucking job. Mm-hmm. Stop disgracing our flag and letting them get away with it. Because the thing is, this kind of confirms, it's their job to do this, and we're just going to trick them into doing their job, guys. No, that's not good enough.
All right.
It's a counter IQ test isn't it?
No, no, because I see
your low IQ.
I see the point about disgracing the flag a little bit, putting it on the ground, but I just think it's a satirical point that it's still strong. And I think Carl's taking it a bit literally.
It's really weak, and I think it actually puts them in a position of strength.
All right, send your comments in the chat. Team Nick or Team Carl. And you can't scop the car just because it's his podcast. This was Gehenny Andrews on Good Morning Britain. And now for a balanced take on our national flag, let's go to the author of The Psychosis of Whiteness, which is his actual book.
Which is the book he wrote.
And he suggests just having a new flag. I don't know, but let's see if we're at the right place.
We're not. It's not the far right.
So he actually goes and suggests... he's like, yeah, why don't we just have a new flag, guys? I was like, really? Just 100 years of history? Yeah, that's gone, is it now?
I mean, it's got to be like the 12th century or something that England adopted the England flag.
Its flaws is a relatively successful multi-ethnic, multiracial, multi-faith democracy.
Change the flag.
Get a new flag.
What would you like on the flag?
13th century.
I'll be honest.
Love hearts?
What did they say? There ain't no black in the Union Jack. And there still ain't no black in the Union Jack, right?
On a serious point, do you think if something got a black line...
It's year zero. Change the flag.
Wikipedia is telling me that it was first adopted by the City of London in 1190.
Yes, I'm seeing that as well, and that it evolved from maritime flags and military identification to its status as the emblem of the patron saint of St. George in 1348.
There you go.
So it's got almost 1,000 years of history.
He's like, nah, bin it.
Have you thought about Windrush, bro?
Yeah. It offends me slightly. So actually change it. Just change the world. Just change the world to everything I like. It's like these people that comment on
The new flag can just be a picture of Rishi Sunak holding up that 50p coin.
Diversity built with...
There you go. That'll be the new flag.
But the thing is, like Gehenny Andrews, everything he's ever done has been, I hate Britain and I hate white people. That's his entire career, hence the psychosis.
It's the psychosis of him that bothers me.
And the thing is, when he's brought on TV to talk about it, it's actually kind of funny because he seems a bit exasperated. They're just like, but Candy, isn't there a chance that some white people don't deserve the death camps? And he's just, I've been through this. You know, I've told you.
You've read my book.
Yeah, exactly. It's all white people all the time forever who deserve it. It's insufferable.
Yeah, and then I think this is one.
This from mine, I think.
Oh, what happened there then?
I don't know. What happened there?
I've lost my little...
That's Samson's for you.
It's gone.
I was trying to get to the last one, which is the counter to Gehenny Andrews.
There we go.
And it's kind of, it's the antidote and the kind of palate cleanser, which is this...
So both of these flags which you've displayed here, those are the flags which the British Army marched into places like India, Pakistan, Bengal, Africa...
Unfortunately, I don't want to get copyrighted
again.
Yeah.
Well, actually,
I love that song, though.
Just Good Morning Britain videos get you copyright strike. Yeah. I got one, so this whole section's gone. No one will ever see this.
Oh, well.
So anyway, this is a great sort of schizo edit that we now can't see because of Carl's party pooper behaviour.
We can see it.
We can imagine.
Can't listen to
it. Just pretend you can hear She Sells Sanctuary by The Cult in your head.
I do love that song.
It's a great song. Yeah. I've heard too many pub bands butcher it, but it's a good song.
Yeah. So you get the idea. This would have been a brilliant ending to the bit. But it's all about just owning the flag. No apologies. We love our flag. Mm. Up yours, Gehenny, basically. All right. That's that.
God, I can't wait till we win and we can deport him.
Ending it on the unified message of up yours, Gehenny. That's something we can all get behind.
Quintilla,
there's a flag for you.
Quintilla says, bring back our real flags. Let's see the Kingdom of Wessex and Mercia. Yeah, but the thing is, it's too... That's far too... esoteric for most people these days. Like, no one knows how cool the Kingdom of Wessex
I might start flying a Mercian flag, to be fair.
So any discussion on the podcast that Trump's going to review migrants in the US? Yeah, but not this one.
I hope it turns up some fantastic results.
As an American, let me say this. God bless the flag of St. George. Long may it live a wave over the green hills of England. We're sending Nick to the Tower of London for that ear rape, prosecute him for hate crimes. He has hate crimed our ears. I demand reparations.
How is that my fault? I'm not the producer.
Yeah.
I just click things.
Yeah. Good point, though, and I think it's well made.
That's what you said when I found you watching porn in the office. I'm not in control. I just click things, bro.
Had a VPN. It was all good.
Right, so I wanted to talk about why people are putting up flags, because there's a lot of discussion about, why are these far-right racists putting up their flag? And in fact, you get incidents like this. This is where a chap's like, What's the point of this?
Yeah, you can, but I'm telling them I want him back. It's fucking disgusting, mate. Right, you understand you're taking the flag.
There's
down,
this Jamaican
yeah?
bobble.
And it's patriotic. What
this flag,
what we're
doing which one? What the significance?
Pardon?
What the significance of this flag?
The significance is yeah. the fact that we've put them up because of there's illegal immigrants in the hotel and we're showing patriotism to our country.
The baffled
blank,
expression.
Blank stare. Yep.
But notice, like, the English guy doing this, just everyone around him is a foreigner. Everyone involved in this is a foreigner, wearing another country's flag, being like, what's the significance of the England flag? Why does this matter to you? And it's like, it really goes to show you just how insidious the UK is, right? The people who are doing this to us are not evil. They're all just like, I'm just following order, I'm just doing my job. I don't even know what your complaint is. I don't know what the significance of your own flag in your own country is.
And this is what occupation looks like.
Yeah, but it's... No.
When everybody persecuting you is a foreigner, you yeah. are occupied.
But the thing is, occupation is usually not as evil as this, right? Because at least with occupation, you know who the occupiers are, and the occupiers know why they're there, right? The British Empire in India, like, you go up to any Englishman, what's the significance of the England flag or the Indian flag or whatever, they'd at least be able to tell you what the purpose of them being there was.
Yeah. Well, this is a new form of occupation.
Exactly.
This is occupation in modern times with the mass man and mass migration. This is what
exactly.
It looks like.
This is way more insidious because these guys. I'm wearing a Jamaican flag. So I'm Jamaican, bro. You know, he doesn't think about it.
But they don't understand even what the flag is. So to me, now some disagree, but I compared it to the Confederate flag in America because it's like, why are you getting out of this arcane racist flag that we don't understand? And that's now the St. George's Cross in England.
Yes, that's genuinely, for American viewers, that's the way this is being treated, as if people were going around in New York or something putting up Confederate flags. And again, like, the people just have no idea. This means nothing to them.
And also, just on that, as far as I'm concerned, Americans from the South should feel pride in being able to put up a Confederate flag. The fact that people let themselves get browbeaten over their national flags like that is why we end up with situations like this.
You get more of it.
Well done, man.
Skip it.
What's happening? Oh, the rats have arrived, have they?
They've been asleep for a minute.
Yeah, that's all right. We're here all night, mate.
They don't want no trouble with it at all.
No.
But,
yeah, well,
but we're leaving the flags up. And
the flags are staying up, aren't they? Well, you got problems with the English flag, mate? Have you?
Let's not go down there.
You've got issues with it. Have you got issues, mate? Why are you taking the flags down?
Again, the people here to take the flags down are both foreign. Both foreigners. But they're like, don't care. I'm just here to do my job. Like, again, I don't care about this issue. This is not an issue to them. As far as they're concerned, this is something genuinely archaic that they don't understand and they don't care about. They're just being paid to take it down. Don't worry about it. Like, not our problem, right? And so you've got, like, you know, lefties who then start going, well, you know what this is. It's racism. Putting English flags up, it generally isn't a bad thing. Putting English flags up to make people feel uncomfortable is a bad thing. Learn the difference.
And now into this strange realm of subjective intention again, and all these strange non-crime hate incidents where the person felt uncomfortable, therefore it's a crime. Yeah. So I've got to, with my flag, I've got to wonder, will you, person with flag in bio, by the way, but a different flag, will you be offended by my flag? And if you are, I can't put it up. How am I going to even know that? Of course you're going to be offended because you're offended by everything. But
also, they definitely put their flag up to make you feel uncomfortable.
Right.
They definitely did that.
Yeah, why is that in your bio? Because I don't love that.
Yeah, exactly. But this has been a common refrain from the left, of course. And obviously The Guardian had to have an input on this. So there was a group called the Whittle Flaggers, which raised £2,000 to put up flags in small donations. And they said, it's not racist and it never will be. We have members of the community of all ethnicities and religions stopping by and praising what we're doing, so please don't call this racist. And the thing is, like, this is not going to be a winning strategy in any way, shape, or form. They are going to call you a racist. They're not going to be like, oh, right, okay, you're just putting up the England flag for neutral reasons. I guess you're not a racist.
By the way, This is a funny, for anyone who's not in this country, it's such a ridiculous English sentence, dangerous lamppost movement. Can there really be a day, other than bashing your head into a lamppost, is there ever such thing as a dangerous lamppost movement?
Yeah, organisers say they're just being patriotic, but some suspect the far right is behind the dangerous lamppost movement. And that's... Do you want to know who suspects that the far right are behind this? The Socialist Workers' Party think the far right are behind this. Anti-racism campaigners say they have concerns about the motivation and timing of the movement. We are concerned that the discussion around the English flag and patriotism is giving cover for racism driven by the far right and shamefully by politicians of all shades, says Lewis Nielsen, anti-fascist officer at Stand Up to Racism. That's a front for the Socialist Workers' Party. And exactly what you'd expect them to say. They, of course, hate the England flag because they hate England. Anyway, you had interesting discussions on TV about this. So this campaign has been remarkably successful and actually got everyone talking about the subject
I believe.
Talk about.
All right. I'll just...
We'll get to one... There we go. About here. Of course we will. Of course it won't play.
Far right, wherever there's a far right rally, that's the flag that they are.
The people who think that are very boring
tarnished.
People. They're very boring if they think that. They're very dull and they need to get a life.
But that's right. They might be boring, but they have concerns. And they feel threatened.
I understand why they're. Understand
the far right have done some very horrible things in this country, so I think people have the right.
The far right don't get to claim ownership of the nation's flag.
And
so anyone who tries to say that needs to just get their head into reality. Honestly, it's bird brain stuff if they really, truly believe that this flag has somehow been taken over by the far right. Yes, there are idiots on all sides of the political spectrum, and idiots need to be called idiots and ostracised as much as humanly possible. But the idea that because some people associate through their own prejudice that St George's flag resembles some symbolism of the far right are just bird brain idiots who, quite frankly, need to go elsewhere.
But maybe you should be attacking...
So that's a Tory council, Tory MP, ex-Tory MP... Far right needs ostracising. Love the England flag. Probably going to get ostracised. Thanks, Conservatives.
He immediately cooked.
Yeah, immediately broke. It's like, no, that's literally not about why people are flying this flag. Right, we'll go back to Kehinde Andrews very briefly because he had another great take on all of this. So I actually love it when Kehinde Andrews talks because he does say things that are honest. They're just, I mean, look at his face. Just look at his face. He's like, I love being paid to be evil in your country.
St. George's Cross on a pub. Are you going inside?
Well,
honestly, are you going
inside? Well, you are. I mean, I come from Birmingham, Rakib. And the point is that there is, and we can't deny, there is an association, certainly between the St. George's flag and far-right racism. How do we...
So far-right means English working class. So if you see a pub with the English the St. George's Cross on, you know that is an English working class pub. And suddenly Adil Rais, well, I'm not going in there. It's like, oh, okay. So
your terms are acceptable.
Yeah, that's fine by me.
Well, that's the point, isn't it, right? They put up these Palestine flags to mark territory. And they view the St. George's Cross as a way of marking territory. And that's why they're getting really offended by this.
Frankly, far right just means white person or English person who doesn't hate himself.
Yeah.
That's all it is, and I don't hate myself. I'm not an egalitarian, and I believe that multiracial societies have been a complete disaster on a mass scale, as has been experimented with for the past few decades in this country and elsewhere. So no, why should I hold myself to your standards when your standards have brought nothing but brutal misery to
them? Sure, but the point being, they recognize it as the English themselves claiming territory. So they reckon, oh, no, that's English territory. I'm not going in there. I'm going to UK territory, when they're not flying the England flag and they're flying the Pride flag or something like this, right? That's how they interpret this. So were you going to say something?
No, I'm just agreeing.
Right. Then we've got Jeremy Vine, and this is Andrea Jenkins.
They want to have a voice, and don't forget about this. We're sick of being back of the queue. I think that's why.
No, if you get something called Operation Raise the Colours, that sounds very military. It sounds very aggressive. And why are they doing it? So if you want flags on your town halls, you can make your choices.
Yeah.
I mean, you'll make your choices. I'll probably make different choices to you on the flags.
No.
But if you can't go around just sticking what you like on a lamppost. And if you're going out and putting the flag of St. George, why are you doing it? I bet you there's an aggression in this campaign, which I think we should beware
of. But look at the aggression of...
So just to point that, again, he sees the aggression in it because it's claiming territory. It's declaring that England, this part of England, belongs to the English collectively. That's what the associate editor of the Mirror is saying.
Yeah, and I can't improve on my tweet there where I said raising the flag is great as it forces far left nutters to admit they're triggered by the mere sight of our national symbol. So you've smoked out the left there just by having a flag. Because see how angry Paul Mason is about the flag.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Same with this guy. Like
that's him, isn't it?
No, that's not Paul Mason. This is Kevin Maguire.
I get those two so confused all the time.
I know, they look just
I literally think they're the same person. Okay, that's Kevin Maguire.
But the point is, why is it sniffing them out, right? And it's because it's a declaration. This is not the UK. This is England, and England is for the English. The UK might be for all the diversity in the world, but not them.
Yeah.
And Andrew Jenkins is right. Another reason this is going up is what she'll explain now.
They're pro-Palestinian lobby.
Yeah, that's why it was. Yeah. That's why they were taken down.
But do you know, I mean, look. When I was the MP for Morley, they had one of the largest St George's celebration in the country. Even the BBC said, "Oh, is it the most patriotic town?" And it was actually amazing, that celebration, bringing everyone together and being proud to be English. And so I see nothing wrong with that.
But to me, I think this
is an underlying protest movement because they feel that they're left out, forgotten about.
Migrants into Britain are amongst the most patriotic people in Britain.
Which is why they're so terrified when they see our flag.
Exactly. Which is why they're so terrified to see territory claimed by the English people. Like, we'll go to Kehinde Andrews now for his opinion on patriotism in Britain. But notice how triggered he got by that. She's like, well, look, it was just I was the MP in Morley, a big St. George's parade and a celebration. It was really great. I really enjoyed it, says Andrea Jenkins, an English woman. Mm. And Kevin Maguire starts freaking out about it.
Yeah, and he can't quite condemn patriotism because that sounds too stupid on its own. So he has to say, well, actually, immigrants are patriotic. It's quite a strange claim. It's like, it's okay when they're patriotic, but if we actually are, it's bad.
Which is why he's got the Jamaican flag.
So it's like, but is it the patriotism that's bad, Kevin? Or is it who's doing it? So basically, we're not allowed our own flag. Only other people are allowed the flag.
Yes.
It's a completely incoherent position.
Exactly, it is. Because what Kevin is arguing against is the English having an ethnic claim to land in England. That's what he's arguing about. They've already said, oh yeah, land is claimed by the flags. And everyone knows this, which is why they put their flags up anyway.
Yeah.
You know, they wouldn't be putting up Palestine flags or Pride flags or whatever flags, right? You know, they wouldn't be putting these flags up if land wasn't being claimed symbolically by the raising of a flag. And when you raise an England flag, they're completely freaking out. How dare you, sir?
Yes, but if someone, an immigrant, does it, it stands for multiculturalism and the triumph of integration, I suppose.
Exactly. Should we go for a bit of Narinda?
Why not?
Yeah.
Keir Starmer.
It's about a minute in on this one.
She'll have a nuanced take.
She's got a very, very sensible take.
We should be putting up flags on lampposts, and in public areas, and attaching them to sort of.
And what he's actually saying is that he Downing Street put up when there's a match, a football match, and the country celebrating, and no one ever has a problem when Lionesses are playing or England or Team GB. We all want the flags, and we all feel very proud. No one is saying that you can't put your flag up because you feel proud of your country during those events. The problem here is, and everyone's conflating
only
the issue,
during the sport.
This raising of the colours is led by a group of people, men, proud Englishmen of their identity. I find it a little bit sinister, especially with what's going on in the country right now with the asylum seeker protests, the race riots last summer, and these people are often draped in these flags. And these protests have been organised by far-right groups, Homeland UK. I have a problem with those flags going up suddenly everywhere. The reason the Palestinian flags went up is for an ethical reason, a humanitarian reason. There's kids in Gaza being starved to death. There's a reason they went up.
Right.
English girls having horrible things happen to them, grooming gangs, those don't count as ethical reasons to be proud of being English or standing up for your own people. No.
I mean, everyone always rags on Narinda, but I'm telling you, she's a lovely woman and she'll just say the quiet part out loud, right? And it's perfect when they do. I love when the mask comes off, right? So
When every few months that video of you and her where she can't understand per capita goes back into the discourse.
I know.
Well, Carl's not recovered from getting destroyed in that debate. That's why he's bitter.
But again, what I love about Narinda, I do like Narinda because she'll just say the genuine truth of it, right? You can have your patriotism when we control it. right? When we are in charge of it, when it's the feminist movement putting up female sportsmen, or when it's, you know, whatever, like little siloed England match or whatever it is, when it's the sports ball, you can have it when we control it and when we can say, yep, this is literally just about football or about this little thing, the Olympics, whatever it is, and that's when it's acceptable and you'll do it on our terms. You do it on your own terms and, oh my God, this is sinister. This is sinister.
And a bit later, she says it even more plainly. She says, there's not even a game on. Yeah. Just like so far. Like, you mind can't compute that it might not be about football. As if the flag came from football.
Yeah, yeah.
Gareth Southgate invented this flag, don't you know, in 1996. Yeah. I was like, what are you talking about? Like, that's what's secondary, but to them, that's primary. The sport, the celebration of UK, lesbian football. And by the way, all of women's football is a psyop anyway. It only exists as a political movement. Football is rubbish.
I'm going to defend the footballers themselves, though. They were the most far-right racist things I've ever seen when they were coming out going, yeah, we were playing for England. That's why we won.
Yeah,
and it's like, oh, good.
And I disagreed on that.
We've got English blood in us. It's like, okay, great.
And I could see that take, but I disagreed because it was like, that was, to me, the Narinda thing. That's the one time, that's your little crumb of patriotism.
Yeah, but came out again, it was hard-right statement.
Football. I know, but it's within the psyop of women's football.
Sure.
So it's like, it's a far-left thing. And
no one told the footballers that, oh, no, this is a psyop. Don't be like, yeah, we won because of our English blood.
Yeah. But you were allowed it, weirdly, in that moment, which is what she's saying. You're allowed
to go against it,
after a women's football match. That's the one time. Then shut down your patriotism, like taking down the Christmas trees. Like, hang on, Carl, are you being patriotic after the football's finished? What are you doing?
But that's the point, isn't it? And then the distinction between our flag being unethical and the Palestine flag being ethical is just remarkable. That is an incredible statement. Because, I mean, like, one can make the argument is, okay, well, why is so much of England been sacrificed to multiculturalism? Why has it been taken away from us against our will, right? We didn't vote for this. In fact, every time we voted against this. So I would say there's actually a bit of an ethical quandary there that actually this is all in response to. And she said, no, that's not ethical. It's the foreign concerns that are ethical. And the thing is, even Jonathan Pye got this. Like, this is a good statement from him. This is precisely the problem. Labeling pride in one flag as ethical but demonizing another as sinister is the reason people are feeling the need to raise the second one. We are a fair few years into this culture war now and some people still don't get it. Even Jonathan Pye gets this.
His intern must have got hold of his phone for
a right?
Well, he's a funny one, Pye, because when Andrew Doyle was writing it, of course, it was coherent. And since Doyle left, it's been mainly just sort of libtard stuff.
Yeah.
But occasionally, you can see like his actual common sense of just being a normal person, you know, a person somewhere deep down comes out and he can't help but tweet something like this.
Yep. And Peter Hitchens nailed it, to be honest. Quick quote from this, quote, "The reappearance of the St. George's Cross after a long retirement was a growing reaction to a vague feeling that Englishness is threatened in its own country, and you will nowadays find plenty of leftish people who sneer at it as racist," which we have seen a nice series of examples of. As Peter Hitchens is completely correct here. What this really is, and I really mean this, is this is a statement of ethnic domination of the English over their own country. This is to say, no, we, the English, have the jurisdiction over England. That's the ethical, moral correctness of this point. And that's why it has to be the St. George's flag going up. Putting up the British flag, unfortunately, doesn't have the same effect. And so I'm really tired of the containment right.
And people should read that whole Hitchens piece because it is excellent. And he talks about how people will bring the flag out when they feel a loss of their identity. But he also talks about how in war the flag has meant, like, oh, my allies are coming. It's meant a lot to people in the past. So it has that deep meaning of, oh, these are our people together. And so I read the whole piece, but
Yeah, but that's the point. It's a statement of ownership. It's a statement that says this territory is ours and for our people. I mean, I saw Leo post the other day. He's like, I used to be nervous about an English flag, but now I'm just like, oh, thank God, my kindred. And it's like, for even the Scots to be like, oh, thank God, the English are putting their flags up is really interesting. But anyway, I just wanted to shame Robert Jemrick here for putting up a British flag. Missed the point, Jenners. This is not... A powerful statement in any way, shape, or form. You look like containment. Disgusting. Get up there with an English flag, you bloody poser.
He did talk, didn't he, in the leadership campaign about English identity specifically.
He did, which is all the more reason why I'm shaming him. I mean, there are going to be lots of other ones who are going to put up British flags and whatnot. But Jemrick deserves special shaming for this. Absolutely.
And I don't see too much of a problem with putting up the British flag.
Because they don't find it something to react to.
They
don't really care.
I do think they do. They hate us for empire. One of the things that they hate us for most is the empire. The empire was one of the greatest achievements of any peoples in history. And I do think it was the united British peoples that were able to achieve that. I was talking...
Sure, but then they'll make the argument, it's like, yeah, but you also had lots of Indians and Sikhs and various other people.
Yeah, under our boots.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
No, but that's why they hate us.
But the point is, the British flag fundamentally is congenitally a multi-ethnic flag. You've got the St. Andrew's Cross...
Multi-ethnic on the British people.
Sure, but then that once it's multi-ethnic, that's not a singular statement.
The multi-ethnic nature of it can still be confined to the British people. That's why it's the British flag.
Yeah, but it's not. It's used by lots of people who aren't British.
They still hate it, though. One of the things that they hate us for is the Empire, and that is a symbol of the Empire. That's
also the symbol of the UK.
That they see as having subjugated them.
See, I'm not saying that we need to give it up or anything, but what I'm saying is it doesn't have the same resonance that the St. George's Cross does.
Doesn't have that quite same level, but I do think it's sort of being reclaimed here. I think you're both partially right, because when I grew up, well, we used to just have both flags and they were fine. We thought of ourselves as English. But then it became all about Cool Britannia in the 90s, the Union Jack co-opted by Blair. But now, I think with this movement, it maybe is being claimed back a bit. We know they hate the St. George's flag cross and they think it's racist. But the Union Jack, like you say, is partly... They sort of half like it. Yeah. And like as Harry says...
They'll tolerate it.
I still don't see any reason to...
Context dependent. No.
I didn't say abandon it.
And by the way, you have to call it the Union Jack, because this Union flag midwit thing that went around, people saying you have to call it the Union flag, it was completely wrong.
Isn't it a jack when it's on a ship?
No, that's wrong. That's just false.
Oh, is that wrong?
That's false, but that got put around to demoralise you a few years ago. Oh. Union flag, I think you'll find. No, it can be used as Union Jack in a naval or non-naval context. Oh, okay. And we always said Union Jack when I was growing up. Same. And I say go back to that, because Union flag is midwit demoralisation.
I'm just going
to
be North FC, just don't care. Union Jack.
Yeah. It does sound more chipper.
Yeah.
And it just sounds more patriotic and more traditional than what we were used to. Yeah. Union flag is not EU.
It sounds EU, doesn't it? Yeah. It sounds like fake. Mm. But the point being, I'm not saying in any way, shape, or form we need to give up the Union Jack. Obviously, you know, that's our flag. But it doesn't have the same punch in it. You know, it's the St. George's Cross that they're really triggered by. And so you've got to put up the St. George's Cross, Jemrick, before I'll accept your containment efforts.
I think both are good.
Both are good, but it's the St. George's Cross first.
And they both look great. Aesthetically, they are great flags, don't you think?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. And I also, Scots and English, whatever petty differences that there are and petty sniping, I think we all need to accept that this is one struggle. Just because Scotland isn't as attractive a prospect for migrants at the moment...
Eventually it'll become so bad that
they're going to start moving back up.
Stop them, yeah. Absolutely. The other guy said that Britain is a successful multiracial society. Yeah, they have this fancy in their heads that everything's going great and that there are no particular problems.
I think is he talking about what's-his-face who Kehendi was arguing with?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of him.
I don't mind him. I don't think he hates us. But like
Raheem.
I don't think he hates us, but I think he fails to understand the problems, frankly.
I think he's biased when he says something like that. He has to say something like that, or else it brings his presence here into question.
Raheem.
Kind of. Yeah. D-Man says, if you don't like that there's no black in the Union Jack, you can always go back. Well, again, I don't want to be harsh or anything. Like, because I am happy that if there are people who do like Britain and do like the British and aren't interested in being subversive, okay, fine, I don't mind them staying. But I don't want, like, the Boris wave just being allowed to stay here forever. It's like, sorry, you brought a bunch of people over here 5 minutes ago who don't give a damn about this country. So you just open the floodgates and they're going to come out. No, they can go back. Sigilstone says, like the Confederate flag, Colin Harry driving a muscle car with St. George's Cross painted on top when? There go them Lotus Boys again. That's actually cool.
If somebody wants to fund the muscle car for the office, you know, go ahead.
Yeah, with an England flag on the top of it. I would love that.
Driving around Swindon just intimidating people. That's what I want to see.
The English need to wear their flag shirts and the ladies need to wear their flag bikinis, English flag bikinis. Will the Lotus Eats do their part and create an English flag shirt for their merch store? Maybe. MC Virus says, yeah, maybe that's a good idea, actually. I bet Rory could come up with something quite nice and stylish. MC Virus says, is it possible to force the king out a la the original House of Cards, put the Stuarts in, they're Catholic, but at least they're not some foreign German traitors. Abdication is a difficult and thorny subject and doesn't happen that often. So basically you'd want to ask David Starkey, I think.
And if Parliament wanted to do it, that would be called civil war. Like last time. And also, we don't want Parliament in charge, and also, they're all on the same team.
I was going to say, like, there's nothing for them to war over. Like, There's and the funny thing is, if we somehow manage to, by some fluke of nature, get a based king, right? If William gets in and he's like, okay, guys, I'm actually sick of all this woke stuff, sick of all these foreigners, I'm going to dissolve Parliament. What are they going to do? Raise an army? Go on. Go on, raise your bloody army. Good luck. They're not going to get shit. So, no, it's not going to happen. Nothing's going to happen. Nothing ever happens. It's just the way things are going to be. Miller says, I used to want independence for Scotland so we could get away from the crazies in Westminster. Then the Scottish politician said, hold my beer. The only option I see now is to renew the British Empire.
One struggle, brother.
There's never been a stronger argument for it. Migrants are so patriotic to England and Britain, they celebrate their country's independence from Britain in Britain. Make this make sense. Yeah, that's a great point. You know, it's like, why are we seeing Pakistan and Indian flags on their independence days? At least Jemrick put the Union flag the correct way up. Well, I guess. I did actually... Me and my wife went out to Toby Carvery yesterday, and we're driving along, you know, to get there. And there are these British flags on a bridge going across the road, and they're upside down. And my wife's like, ah. It's like, but I mean, at least they put the flags up, right? So they, you know, even in Swindon, there were people joining in. But yeah, you got to get the flag the right way up, lads. With Harry's new hairstyle, quick question: is he going full Jack Aubrey?
It is a good look.
Who's Jack Aubrey?
He's the main character in Master and Commander, played
Russell
Crowe. Yeah. It is a good look, however, I prefer to have the back of it loose. I don't like the look of a ponytail on myself just by itself. And with that pressing question answered, let's go to the video comments.
With everything as it's gone, whatever happened with the Homeland Party? It feels like nobody talks about them. Is it as cynical as they don't create clicks for commentators? Or is there something flawed with them? If they're doing good, I've not heard of it. I just genuinely don't know.
That's a big question.
You want to answer it?
I can answer it. Yeah. I got some of the insider information. So basically, they had as one of their regional leaders in Northern Ireland a femboy. And their national leader was defending him against attacks from the insiders in the party who were saying, we should not be fielding a femboy as a representative of the party. This isn't a good look for us. This caused a lot of internal party divisions, which eventually led two of the biggest promoters of the party, one of them being Steve Laws, to leave the party. Kind of annoyed at how the internal party politics were going. And after that, they've just not had as much push online because their two biggest people who were pushing them, promoting them, sharing all the posts, getting everyone excited for them, left.
Didn't Pete North leave as well?
Pete North left as well, but he was one of the big problems that people had internally because they felt that Pete was pushing them towards a kind of middling civic nationalism. And Pete also, for some reason, despite the fact the party was supposed to be purely based around English issues and English ethnicity, Pete had a real bugbear for Israel and what he was perceiving as anti-Semitism coming from the party. And people were saying, we should not be focusing on anything to do with Israel. We should not be focusing on anything to do with LGBT inclusion in the party. We shouldn't even have any party line or comments on those. It should just be focused on single issues. And it seemed to go lead to a lot of turmoil within the party. So as far as I'm aware, some of the members still go out and do good stuff for their local communities. In their local communities will go up and like clean up local parks and areas, clean off graffiti, clean off Palestine flags from places. But their online presence has severely diminished because of all of that that happened a few months ago. Hope that answers your question. Oh, God.
There's a birth gay boy among us. Totally poggers. Well, you're a handsome lad, a sussy chungus pirate from Basildon. Very cringe and should vent to electrical.
Is it worth the 16 grand, Farage? We know how much money he makes doing these cameos. It's 16 grand a month or something. I mean, it's quite a lot of money. Don't get me wrong. But he gets a million a year from GB News. I mean, and then he gets like 90 grand from his MP. Does he need the cameo money?
What I'm taking away is I need to get on Cameo. It's like easy money.
Yeah, I mean,
right, birth,
you know,
gay boy.
Birth gay boy. I can do it.
Nigel,
birth gay boy, a lot of people say.
You can either do cameo or be a serious political figure in England, right? You can't do both, so I'd rather you stick to cameo.
When,
frankly. It got him in a bit of a pickle when he supported the IRA by accident, didn't it?
Yeah, but like, when Nigel becomes Prime Minister, which is increasingly looking likely day by day, but you see the poll the other day. They had him at like 35%, 34%, whereas like 170 seats up.
They're going to play all these videos.
Is he going to still do cameos?
Is this from the Prime Minister's office?
He's
going to
poggers big chungus or whatever he was saying.
It's the Prime Minister here.
It's like,
does Prime Minister pay as well as cameo? Probably not.
No, it doesn't actually. No, it doesn't.
Salary's lower.
140, I think it's 140 grand work. A year.
Yeah, 16 grand a month. Going to be over that.
What I've heard is really Farage sees the Prime Minister thing as a kind of pipeline into the cameo, the kind of
I think bucks the charging
to bring them
more.
In to his main job, which is cameo.
He's on a grind set that we've not even conceived of yet. He's years ahead.
Lazy compared to Farage.
He's laying the groundwork for all Zuma prime ministers 50 years from now.
That's good. How about
you? Let's watch the next one.
The left likes to complain about how, you know, the moderate migrants are being lumped in with the violent migrants. But the problem is that when, you know, the legal system tries to deal with the violent migrants, the legal migrants all come out in support of them and try and, like, break them out of the vans they're being deported in. And, you know, often, you know, protest on their behalf for leniency from the government. So they kind of do wind up lumping themselves in with the violent migrants one way or another, and therefore we kind of have to be concerned about them.
Well, yeah, that's part of the big problem, is that they're not looking at it from a ethical or moral perspective. They're looking at it from ethnic perspective, which means that it doesn't matter the morality of what's going on. We know that the people in these communities, like Rotherham, it must have been a community-wide conspiracy. Does that necessarily mean that every single one of them is completely in favor of what was going on? No, but it does mean that they understood that it was in their own group interests to not alert the police.
Yeah, I think
that's the horrible
totally
truth
accurate,
of it.
Frankly,
that's the sad truth of it.
And then the few that do come out, you get the odd one who comes out as a kind of voice against all of this, and they get hell from their own community,
yeah,
as if they're traitors. And it's like, okay, well, justice is just a concept that is not universally applicable.
Well, given how justice operates within those communities, they would probably have threats on their life.
I saw a tweet the other day that claimed that a community that would go unmentioned had a 6,000% higher increase of father-daughter incest and rape than any other communities, but they weren't allowed to publish this result, these results of this research, for politically correct reasons.
Jesus.
It's like, well, I guess that community will go in there.
Jesus Christ. Have we got any more video comments, Samson?
The left displays what I call spontaneous retardation syndrome, in which they suddenly lose the capability to understand any and all basic concepts. For an example, look at Carl's video about Adam ruins everything. I've developed the silly buggers rule in response, the name of which I took from a colleague's quote in The Police. In essence, you treat people with good faith and act reasonably until they demonstrate that they themselves aren't, at which point you dismiss them utterly and ignore any protests or complaints, no matter how reasonable. Once they cross that threshold, you tell them, you're playing silly buggers, I'm not playing this game. It sets a clear boundary and halts bad faith actors, as well as highlighting them as a problem to everyone else.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. Just don't engage with it.
Yeah, that's quite reasonable. Any more? All right, shall we get on with the written comments on the website? Have we got any more Rumble rants? It doesn't look like any more have come in.
No, I think so.
So go through the written ones. Should I read or?
I'll do them, that's all right. George Happ says, Connolly is a reminder that neither the police nor the justice system are your friends. They are part of the meat grinder apparatus of the state. Well, I mean, it depends, frankly, what your political opinion is, right? If you're part of the Labour Party and you want a bunch of people killed, they are your friends and you'll get, frankly, a really easy time. If you're a mum who doesn't want her children being stabbed, well...
That is right, sadly.
Jimbo says, there's no justice in this country anymore, only social justice. This means that the law only applies to white people. Meanwhile, we are being flooded by foreign criminals who brazenly know this. We need to start treating these politicians like drunk drivers. There are no excuses for such negligence.
Just this just in, when I joked and said Samson make a poll, he did make a poll, so we can see how the audience is falling, of a representative sample of 62 votes. Whose opinion? I've frankly forgotten what this was about.
Not looking good for old Sargon, is it? Look at that, 54.84% for Nick and a mere 45.5%.
What was the original swine?
What was the original?
Filling the potholes.
Even on his own podcast, with the built-in bias of his own podcast and the fear that people feel they have to vote for him, still the people come out for Nick.
Carl's going to track every one of you down. He's going to ban you personally. He's going to strike
you
down.
Who votes in this?
As if I knew how.
Who
to
got
do.
To vote in this? This is Lotus Eaters members voting.
Oh, look, more people are voting. I would assume that this is...
Oh, mine's gone down because I said that.
But... Yeah.
Oh, it's back up.
There you go. Can we maintain equilibrium?
What was it about?
It was about filling the potholes.
Yes, and I said it was a good satire. You took it really literally and got
angry. Yeah, no,
angry.
I think it just confirms the power of the interlopers above us.
So we're testing right now to see how many of the members of the audience have their serious hats on right now, and how many are just jokey little guys. All right, let's carry on with the written comments. We can let that play in the background.
Brian says, the injustice of Lucy Connolly was due to Sir Keir Starmer perverting the course of justice. He stood as PM at his government lectern and insisted that all critics of his government's immigration policy are far-right thugs that must receive long sentences. He forgot that he is a bastion of human rights. Well, that's what human rights means. Human rights means making sure that no minority group ever feels slightly uncomfortable in this country. That's literally what human rights means. Kevin says, I wonder if Lucy's parole conditions have been written to prevent her from attending the gathering on the 13th of September. If not, you can bet the line to get her autograph will be longer than the queue of migrants for free housing in Birmingham. Yeah, that's a great question. I wonder if she will. I wonder if she's going to be more... apparently, she's going to be on Dan Wooten's podcast.
Oh, really?
So that'll be actually quite interesting to watch, I think. Because, like, I'm sure she's going to actually tell us, like, the direct story of what actually happened, what things were like in the prison. And I bet it seems a lot like Tommy Robinson's accounts as well. You know, it's just going to be like, yeah, I was essentially treated as a sort of traitor to the regime.
Yeah, so Paul Joseph Watson just shared my tweet about that, the Alison piece we saw and the mistreatment. He just said they basically tortured her because of a tweet. I mean, it's a bit like that, isn't it?
Well, it's what the Soviets do. Like, you said something against communism, comrade.
Yeah, has been done before.
Yeah, Zesty King says, the flag campaign has definitely achieved this. It was a huge reveal. The fact that foreigners are getting offended by the flag while they themselves live in England shows that they know the land they live on isn't theirs. That there's a difference between us and them. Yeah, that's another thing as well. It's just a really good dividing line. And again, this is, you know, I'm not saying we need to give up the British flag or anything, but this is why it's the England flag that has the power in it for that particular reveal. Omar says, given the recent victory in the hotel protests, I don't think councils want to lean into bureaucracy too hard, lest we learn to use it too. To be honest with you, I'm all for just having this kind of flag war with the councils, because, like, put the flags up, they've got to pay to take them down. It's like, okay, well, who can outlast the other here? You know, who's going to go bankrupt first? And I suspect it might be Birmingham Council that goes bankrupt before people buying flags off Amazon go bankrupt.
Well, they could always up the council tax.
They could. But again, like, all things have a knock-on effect, right? If a few people who are just not taking it anymore start forcing the council, start ramping up people's council tax, people are just going to be like, I don't give a damn about the flags. I give a damn that you're cranking up my council tax.
Yeah, I suppose.
You know, over a vanity project for you. You know, so keep doing it. Like, make them react. That's the great thing about this whole project, is whilst they do nothing, they win because they are the establishment. Right, forcing them to react. This is proper Alinsky tactics. It's really, really good. Forcing them to react is every time they react to anything, it's an opportunity for them to mess up, to overextend, to reveal the hand, to do something that harms them. While nothing happens, they live fat and happy. Sophie says, taking back territory, lads. That's exactly what it is. Anne says, so I have to say, on the flag controversy, I'm on Team Nick. All right, you're banned.
That's a gold person, how dare you?
I know. I think the English flag should be everywhere in England, on every visible surface. When it gets taken down, more flags get put up. Well, I mean, that's why not?
Look, 57.78% can't be wrong. That's all I'm saying. What?
Have you not read The Populist Delusion, Nick?
We've got a Democrat in the room.
Oh, no. What can I say, guys?
Oh, no.
The people are with me.
Binary says, the irony is that half those council workers will have been hired to meet diversity quotas rather than being able to do the job. So half of them will be too rubbish to actually take flag down. Saw some footage of this exact situation the other day. Yeah, that's another thing. A lot of these people, like, again, it's just foreigners taking down England flags, being like, I don't know what the point of the England flag is. I'm just here being paid to do what I'm paid to do. So, okay, brilliant.
By the way, the joke there was me just constantly looking at the graph and as it updates. That wasn't the joke I was going for, just so you know.
The joke is you being neurotically obsessed. Am I winning? Am I winning?
Exactly.
Am I winning?
Self-deprecating joke. 58.24.
Redbrick says, Carl, the shoddy roundabout is from my hometown, and that cross was gone in under 24 hours, yet the council cannot fix the bloody roads. Yeah, it's because they're not interested in doing it. Michael says, the situation in England, Britain, the UK is reminiscent of what's happening in the US before the revolution. The king and his PM have become tyrants by taking away the rights of Englishmen. To be honest with you, there are some serious parallels there. Anon says, foreigners removing the flags represents a Raj. I bet the people in charge of these foreigners are going to be, unfortunately, native lefties, aside from the areas taken over by foreigners. Well, that's the thing. Like, the people in charge are going to be... And the thing as well, there was another part of the video where these people like laughing at the Londoners who are complaining about them taking down the flags, because they know that the power structures are behind them. They know that everything is on their side. And they're never going to be punished for anything they're doing. So they're just doing exactly what they're told to do. So it just doesn't matter. Jimbo says, actually had someone in real life say, this is how it starts, about Operation Raise the Flags. When I asked what he meant, he said, next time we'll be putting little stars on the migrants.
And with that, I think...
He says, people are putting up flags in England because it's England. The media has really done a number on people.
And with that, I think it's
on
time
that, bombshell.
That we finish the podcast. Thank you very much for joining us. It seems that as it stands, as we're finishing, the division has gotten even different. It's got even worse. Nick seems to have won this quite decisively. If it helps,
not about me. It's about the cause.
If it helps.
The cause of making sure our potholes got the England flag.
Well, yeah, actually, if it does help, I believe I agree with Carl. On this, it's undignified to stick our flag in potholes under the ground where people are going to drive over them.
Yeah,
it wasn't even a real image. It was a perfect satire.
I've spoken, Nick. I've spoken. I'm taking
people
the last
spoken.
Taking the last word on this. One last Rumble rant. MPC virus has one little bit of encouragement I can offer is once you gain power and start deporting, most will leave on their own. Trump has only deported 400,000, yet 1.6 million are already gone.
I've been telling people this.
I need to double check the figures on that, but if that's true, then that's encouraging. Either way, join us for Lad's Hour later on at 3 o'clock, where we will be taking a trip through the life of Nicholas 30 Anz and finding out just how attractive the end of that gun. No, I'm joking. but we will be taking the trip and it should be good fun. So thanks very much for joining us. We'll see you then.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com. That's AbilityChiro.com.
Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Cobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98, because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.